Man's truth of yesterday is debunked by man's truth of today, and man's truth of today will be debunked by his truth of tomorrow. Samuel Arbuzman, the author of The Half-Life of Facts, Why Everything We Know Has an Expiration Date, reports that many medical schools tell their students that half of what they've been taught will be wrong within 5 years. The teachers just don't know which half. God's truth, on the other hand, lasts forever, for it is, in fact, truth. Jesus speaks to God in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Psalms 119:140-142, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Man's truth that is contrary to the word of God is simply not the truth. We find this passage in John 14:6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to know the way, if you want to know the truth, if you want life, even eternal life, then you must know the man, Christ Jesus. This intimate knowledge that the redeemed enjoy is discovered in the born-again experience. John 3:3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Have you been born again? Are you ready for the way, the truth, and the life? Would you like all your sin and shame washed away, even all the guilt and harmful memories? Would you like the supernatural power to live a Christian life? Why procrastinate any longer? Do it now. Click on to Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said Genesis 6:12-22, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God said, Matthew 24:37-42, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Man said, according to an infamous evolutionist, "A thinking man must check his brain at the door if he attends a Bible-believing church." Now the record. Staggering, simply staggering. Their challenges strain credulity well beyond its limits. Why all the resistance in the face of the obvious? The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Here Comes Noah. So many things, billions, even innumerable, shout absolutely yes to the miraculous story of Noah's Ark. The mountain of evidence continues to grow, yet skeptics and vociferous challengers still manage to cling on. At the end of this article, we will list a link to Noah features and related subjects for your perusal, all whose evidence shouts yes. Paleontology says yes. Archaeology says yes. Geology says yes. Nearly 500 ancient societal records say yes. Fish fossils on every mountain peak. Flood strata covering 75% of the earth. Billions of fossils buried by water action say yes. Dinosaurs say yes. Soft tissue and dino bones says yes. The Grand Canyon says yes. The reemergence of global catastrophism says yes. All yes. Carnal academia must resist Noah at all costs, for if they yield to the amazing accumulation of evidence that certifies Noah, they will have lost all. Their ungodly educations, their ungodly careers, their ungodly universities, their ungodly textbooks, videos, publications, and theories of evolution would all be gone. Then it would be, how do I pay the mortgage? How do I become gainfully employed producing something of real value? If Noah is true, and he is, they are in a heap of trouble. No, heaps upon heaps. But it doesn't end there. Now something else sets in. A soon coming judgment day when the God of Noah sits upon his throne and all men stand before him to give an account of their deeds and how they have handled the issue of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is more than the ungodly can endure. They must resist. End of quote. Jesus frames it well in John chapter 3, 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The headline in the July 8, 2012 issue of Discover magazine reads, Traces of the Great Flood. And the subhead reads, Geologists long rejected the notion that floods of biblical proportions had ever occurred until one of them found proof of a Noah-like catastrophe in the widely eroded river valleys of Washington State. Excerpts follow. Hiking through eastern Washington canyons littered with exotic boulders is a standard field trip for beginning geologists. It takes a while to register what you see. A dry waterfall hundreds of feet high in the middle of the desert, giant potholes where no river flows today, granite boulders parked in a basalt canyon. Gradually, the contradictions fall into place and a story unfolds. Where did wayward boulders the size of a car or house come from? What was the source of the water that moved them around and carved the falls? Today, even novice geologists can conjure up eastern Washington's giant floods. Long before the discovery of the scab lands, geologists dismissed the role of catastrophic floods in interpreting European geology. By the end of the 19th century, such ideas not only were out of fashion, but were a geological heresy. When J. Harlan Bretz uncovered evidence of giant floods in eastern Washington in the 1920s, it took most of the 20th century for other geologists to believe him. Geologists had so strongly and thoroughly vilified the concept of great floods that they could not believe it when somebody actually found evidence of one. Bretz was a classic field geologist and a controversial figure throughout his career. In 1925, he presented the story of the region's giant floods, seeing what others at first could not and then would not see. He spent his lifetime piecing together the story of how a raging wall of water, hundreds of feet high, roared across eastern Washington, carving deep channels before cascading down the Columbia River Gorge as a wall of water high enough to turn Oregon's Willamette Valley into a vast backwater lake. Bretz found exotic granite boulders perched on basalt cliffs hundreds of feet above the highest recorded river level. In the scab lands, a desolate region stripped of soil, he came across dry waterfalls and potholes hundreds of feet above the modern river. Gigantic gravel bars deposited within dry valleys implied deep, fast-flowing water. Streamlined hills rose like islands extending more than 100 feet above the scoured-out channelways. He realized the chaotic landscape had been carved by an enormous flood that chewed deep channels through hundreds of feet of solid basalt. The ancient flood deposited an enormous delta around Portland, Oregon, backing up flow into the Willamette Valley. Bretz was ridiculed until 1940 when geologist Joe Pardee described giant ripple marks on the bed of Lake Missoula. The 50-foot-high ripples, he said, were formed by fast-flowing currents and not by the sluggish bottom water of a lake, end of quote. The final paragraph in that five-page feature reads, "Did survivors of such events pass their stories down through the ages? Could the biblical story of Noah on some level be real?" End of quote. The record of one global life-destroying flood is seen the world over, yet the skeptics cling to their unbelief. The time approaches for the judgment of this world, and the world as we know it will perish, even as the world perished in the flood in the days of Noah. The ark of safety is the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Are you on board? Click on to Further with Jesus for your seat. It's beginning to rain. End of quote. God said, Genesis 6:12-22, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." God said, Matthew 24:37-42, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Man said, according to an infamous evolutionist, "A thinking man must check his brain at the door if he attends a Bible-believing church." Now you have the record.